Radio Fairfax, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on the Commons today, we have someone that I called the Energizer Bunny because he never stopped. My good friend and every homeowner's friend in Florida, especially Representative Julio Rabina. Julio, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a long time.
It's been too long, Shu, and thank you. And it's always wonderful to talk to you and all those who benefit from listening to your program. And it's a real honor to be back with you again after such a long time.
Well, I'm really pleased to have you now. We've got an hour to find out what's been going on. You are no longer a representative, but you are still in the business of helping homeowners, right?
You better believe it. It says, there's that saying that says that once, you know, the bug gets you, whether you're in the public side or in the private side, you're there. You're still trying to help people that become a victim of living in an association environment, and that's what I'm still doing today.
So you're a manager. You're a principal in a management company.
That is correct.
And you manage what, condos, HOAs?
We have basically found a niche. What a niche, by the way. Here in South Florida, we specialize in what they call distress condos. Distress meaning financially, probably left in bad shape because of a board that either maliciously or administratively caused it harm, problems with the economy that have left it in shambles, and of course, you know, more importantly, the types of condominiums where a lot of retirees live and they have very limited resources, and then they fall prey to a number of things that I just explained, either the financial problems that we're having nowadays or boards that have done what they weren't supposed to do, or even government nowadays going after these boards for additional things that they want them to do, basically, to me, just to generate revenue for local governments.
They're still doing that, aren't they?
They still do, and I am all over them every day, because the good thing is that they don't forget who I am, meaning not only the residents, but also when I have to call on behalf of an association. And they do remember that they called me the condo guru of Florida, and that I'm calling to basically stand up for an association or for a group of unit owners that have no representation and honestly can't spend the money to even hire an attorney to go after the other entity.
That's a huge problem. It's a huge problem across the country.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is an issue, and the problem is getting worse. It's funny because when we went through this bad drought of economy, a lot of foreclosures here in Florida, a lot of people that basically bought speculating that condominiums were great investments, and then the market bottomed out and they walked away from them, stopped paying their maintenance fees, unit owners that watched board members cutting deals with developers, contractors, I mean, you know the whole routine, you've heard every story imaginable. They went through heck. Now at least it's starting to pick up, but that means that, again, lots of money exchanging hands here and temptation falling again into the hands of some board members. And, again, the issue of who's buying these condominiums, for what reason. It's just a never-ending saga in the world of association living in Florida.
Have we not learned any lessons, Julio?
I think we have, but unfortunately there's more people nowadays trying to benefit from it than those who are there to really do their job to make sure that they protect the quality of life, the integrity, and the finances of these associations. And human nature, apparently, we can't change. We can change all the laws in the world, but we cannot get certain people to stop thinking that this is their money-making little schemes. And we need to do more in Florida to be able to go after the few, the rotten eggs that are out there doing what they're not supposed to do for personal gain. And more importantly, you know, doing more to streamline when you get these boards in Florida that really deserve to be removed in the form of recall processes and stuff. And then we'll talk a little bit about a lot of work that I did and how I've seen in the past years people trying to reverse. When I say people, I mean the lawmakers in Florida trying to reverse a lot of the pro-consumer, pro-unit owner legislation that we passed, and the law firms are behind a lot of it, trying to turn it back by changing the statutes and putting it back the onus on them. So, of course, problems, you call an attorney, and they make money. They look at it as a way to benefit their pockets, forgetting the hundreds of thousands of people that live in associations in Florida.
You've looked at this from the standpoint of a legislator, and you heard from the people, and you actually worked with the people. Why is it that now the legislators, aren't they talking to the people? Don't they understand that the laws that you put in place were meant and designed to protect their constituents?
Apparently not. When I termed out as a lawmaker in Florida in the year 2010, I thought we had left plenty of safeguards in place, and I thought there would be other people, especially some legislators from South Florida, that would pick up, as we call it, the baton and keep running to continue to work on association laws in Florida. And it just hasn't happened. And what we've seen is, again, the special interest groups, the lawyers, the banking industry, the insurance industry, trying to undo a lot of the things that I did for years, along with my good friend, and I always give him credit for getting me to see the light and see what was really going in these association environments, Mr. Jan Bergman. All the work that we did, and now the money and the interest groups are somewhat successful at turning back some of the things that we've done. For instance, I'll give you one example. One of the things that we were able to do when I was a lawmaker, we were able to pass a law that made it very easy for people to do a recall of a board of directors that they felt was unfair, corrupt, unjust, just not looking at their interests, and simply by the signature process of majority plus one, they would be able to gather signatures and remove these boards of directors. Well, there's a law sitting on our governor's desk right now, passed by an attorney, pushed by the law firms, to kind of make it almost impossible to have a recall process take place, adding all these stipulations and what I like to call obstacles in order to make it almost impossible to remove a bad board. Whereas before, it was really a nice process. I tell you, since I passed this law, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of associations that said that they could not get rid of a board that had been in place for decades. Finally get rid of them, and new leadership and new things and a new direction and cleaning up some of the messes that were going on. Now, I want to put this disclaimer out. I'm not talking about all boards. We're talking about those who really go astray, those who really are troublesome. There's a lot of boards out there that do a good job, and they've been in place for a long time. So I want to make that clear. But in Florida, we have a lot of them that basically become a trip for these people, or more importantly, a source of income for them. And it's known, and it was almost impossible to get rid of those boards until we were able to pass the law, the recall process, to remove them. And here we go. Here's 2013, only 3 years after I left the legislature. You know, a lawyer out of Central Florida working with all the law firms to undo what we did to make it almost impossible to get rid of these bad board of directors. And that's just one example of many things that they keep changing. Every year they're nipping at a little bit more of what we did to protect the unit owners. And I don't see it getting any better. But in the midst of all that, of course, then we have people like Jan Bergman and certain groups that this year were able to do something more for those who live in homeowner associations. Finally, they're going to start registering all of them here in the state of Florida so that we can finally start regulating these homeowner associations. And they've made it easier for people to get access to their documents and deal with elections in homeowner association, even going after bad managers, which is the business that I'm into now. And I got to tell you, after being in the private, in the public sector, yeah, and now being in the private sector, now I understand why people have complained for years, seeing the nonsense that goes on in the private world of managing.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear,
Yeah.
A lot of times we blame just the boards, but a lot of times it's just the boards. It's the boards working in conjunction with the management companies, or sometimes management companies who know they have a board of directors that don't know what they're doing, and they're basically got the old, what I like to say, the cart before the horse going on, and lots of problems occurring. And I now get to see it, because there isn't a day that doesn't go by where I still get calls from people all around the state of Florida complaining about what their management company is doing, with or without consent of the board of directors.
It's the tail wagging the dog, and we've known that for a very, very long time, because board members basically don't know what they're doing quite often. So how wonderful to have a great manager to lean on.
And that is one of the things that we do, and it's funny because we also, in law, created under a piece of legislation that I passed, mandatory certification, meaning that if you got elected to the board, you had to pass a course, or you had to sign proof, and you had to sign an affidavit basically stating that you had read the statutes, you knew the laws, or you had come to a class, which we actually work partnerships with some people to help teach these classes in Spanish and in English so that you get your certificate, so that you have met your requirement. If you're a board member, you know what you're doing. And it was done so that board members would have a clue in what it was to be a member of a board of directors in an association, so that the managers wouldn't be able to, you know, manipulate them, as you said, the tail wagging the dog. And it worked great. Well, this year there was a push to try to undo some of that again. Anything that seems to make sense to help unit owners, somebody sooner or later is going to target it because there's money in it for the private sector. And that's the saddest part. Government is supposed to be protecting these individuals, and instead, since nobody runs or walks the halls of our capital in Florida, the special interest groups do with their hired guns and so forth, they're the ones undoing the hard work that was done for the people of Florida.
I think that's always been a big problem. All the homeowners have lives. They have jobs. Their job is not to know about HOAs. We've sort of taken something that should be sacred, like your home, and we've turned it into a war zone, and we've given enormous powers to people who have no business having power.
That is correct.
And we've made something so complex and so complicated out of having a home. Having some place where you can go and raise your family and rest and recharge your batteries and do what it is you need to do so that you can get back out into the world and be a productive citizen. And we've turned it into a war zone. People are afraid of going home.
And I will tell you that, again, now being in the private sector, I also will tell you that there's a little bit of blame on that also to be put on those who live, the average homeowner, in an association environment, because I make it a point when we have meetings to post not only notices on bulletin boards and on the windows and even on every place you can imagine that I know everybody will be able to see it, but a lot of times we even call unit owners, come to the meetings, and getting them to the meetings is almost impossible.
Oh, I know. They don't
show up.
Oh, I know. But you know, here's the fallacy of the whole system, Julio. People didn't buy into an HOA to go to meetings. They bought a home.
That's correct. They bought some
place to raise their kids. They bought some place so they could go and be themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate expression of who they are.
Well, and that's what they are at times, and now I'm going to go right to the root of this, at times not even being told. You will not believe how many times I get calls in our office every week from people that just bought in a homeowner association in a big community, but the realtor failed to mention or give them or gave them what is law, basically a checklist and disclosure, which is what we call, that they have bought into a multi-association environment, meaning that not only does it have a homeowner association, but it may actually have a master homeowner. So they're paying actually two sets of maintenance fees, one to the regular association and one to the master. And these people don't have a clue until all of a sudden something happens or something is needed. To think that it starts right at the beginning, I think their first clue is when you go through a gate and you see those common elements, you should know right away, where am I? I'm in an association environment. And unfortunately, remember, we get a lot of retirees, people here that have you said all they want to do is live life in peace.
Yeah.
They go through that gate and they forget that that gate and that little security guard up front means somebody's got to pay, everybody's got to pay for it, and that there is an association environment. To think that people disregard that or are not told by the realtor selling them the properties, whether it's a homeowner association or a condo, is mind-boggling, but that's the reality, because we get calls every day, people saying, Mr. Robina, I just bought at this place. Does this have an association? And, of course, I tell them, did you come through a gate? Did you see the comment? did you see the swimming pools that everyone shares? Did you see the tennis courts? Did you see whatever other common areas? Yes, but we didn't think, yep. And that's another problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Celebration, Florida?
You did not, but I know the community very well. I've been there, and we've used to get a lot of calls and complaints about Celebration and the cost of actually living in that community.
Well, it's the model child for all of this walkable community nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go to Orlando, I make a point of going to Celebration just to walk around, and when they were building, the houses were still being developed, I decided to go in and see what was available, because I'd heard about the false dormers, the whole be a part of something bigger than yourself. So I was given brochures, sent on a tour of the houses, wonderful. So I asked the magical question, is there an association here? Oh, yes. Can I have a copy of the governing documents? Oh, no.
Oh, there's your red flag or white flag or warning shot right there.
They said, there's nothing in there. I said, okay, then can I see them? We don't have them. What do you mean you don't have them? So they said, well, there aren't that many restrictions. I said, well, there's more than restrictions in there. Can I see what you have? So they let me look at some pages. I said, they said, this is it. I said, this is the declaration as recorded. In other words, there's nothing else. No, it's from the declaration as recorded. No, I want to see the declaration as recorded. Well, buy a house. I said, how do I know if I want to buy a house? And he said, we're not giving you anything. I said, okay. So then I said, well, is there a CDD here, which is something that's uniquely Florida? And they said, well, yes. I said, and what can you tell me about that? They showed me the door.
And that is what they don't want. They don't want an educated consumer, an educated person coming into those communities. And I say that very bluntly, because if they had nothing to hide, why would you not put out all the disclaimers and let everyone know, as I like to call it, buyer beware, this is where you're considering buying. Why would you hesitate to give people that information? I have an answer for my own question. It's because if they read through that stuff, they'd realize that they're not going to take a second look at the community. They're going to be out of there quicker than heck, because it's just way too many restrictions. It's almost like living, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like living in a communist country with its own rules and regs, and just way too much power given to a few group of people that basically tell you how you can live in your home. And that is the sad part about what you experienced. And that's supposed to be a model, Celebration. You can imagine what happens in the normal developer-built communities where they're still, now we're back, like I said, on an upbeat where development is starting again in Florida. And you'll see the little flags in the communities being sold everywhere. And I bet you if you tried asking for that information in any one of those communities that you drive by, you're going to find the same type of reception. They're not going to be willing to let you read what it is you're walking into. laws still need to be changed.
Everything that's being built nowadays seems to be in an association. Most places, there are no choices. And if you live someplace like where I live in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, they're tearing down all the older developments that did not have associations because they say it's not good land use.
Mm-hmm.
So they're destroying that and replacing it with cheaply built cardboard high-rises and condos and townhouses and all of that because they're increasing density tremendously. And so the inventory that existed at one point of non-HOA housing is really vanishing very rapidly. The other problem is that buying a house is an emotional purchase. You're not going to worry about everything. You're going to fall in love with the view. You're going to fall in love with the sofa that's in there. You're going to fall in love with the molasses cookies that are baking because they remind you of grandma's house. And that's what people buy into.
Unfortunately, impulsive buying when it comes to the world we live in today. And we are in the same situation in Florida. As you hear, land has gotten very expensive.
Yeah.
Whether you're in northern Florida, south Florida, or even in central Florida. And what they're doing is the future of living in Florida means you will live in some type of association, whether it's a condo, a homeowner association, a timeshare, or even a co-op. It's the future of living in Florida. And it comes with a price that you pay. And that's something that lawmakers need to do a better job to make sure, knowing that this is the future of how you will live in the entire state of Florida, we protect those who will eventually be living in that type of environment. Single-family homes like the one that I live in, which I'm blessed to live in here in South Florida, are something of the past.
Yeah.
These communities that, you know, the local government takes care of everything. There are no common elements. You basically pay your taxes and pay your mortgage, and that's it. But that's something of the past because of the high cost of land. But again, you know, there's a thing called voluntary and involuntary homeowner associations in Florida, which I get involved with every so often. People just don't understand the difference between one or the other. But who's responsible for everything that we're talking about? It is your elected officials. That's why I took my job so seriously. Because when I got elected, to me, there were three things: education, health care, and your homes. To me, were three of the priorities. And you, as a lawmaker, you know, with term limits, you really couldn't get to be specialized in all three. Time would not permit it. So there was plenty of people in health care and the majority into education. But the issue of people's homes became very, very, as I say, interesting to me. And, of course, after being pointed out all the problems by Jan Bergman and the Citizens for Cyber Justice group, I realized, well, you know what? This is the one I'm going to devote my time to. And we need to continue to devote more time, not only here in this state, but in your state and all the states, because land will continue to rise in value. And the population, if you are alive and well and living in the United States, you'll see the population boom that we're having, and land will become sacred everywhere. And this is the future of living. I'd venture to say not only just in Florida, but probably around the United States. This is what they're pushing, these mixed-use communities, which have residential and commercial sometimes on the same place, the transportation issue, getting into density. I work with a lot of urban these groups that do urban renewal and so forth, and that's all that's in their mind. It's about density, especially infill density in communities that are somewhat established. And all of them come with an association, you know, behind it. So to me, this is one of the biggest issues that we need to be addressing, and it doesn't seem like it's happening, at least not in Florida.
Do yourself a favor and record a covenant on your property saying that it would never be part of a mandatory membership homeowners association, because covenants run with the land. Now, some places they expire, and I know Gene Winters was on talking about that, and I think Florida is one of those states where they expire. But the thing is, we're not running out of land, Julio. If you look, there's a guy, Dr. Michael, his last name starts with a C, and he has taken a map of the U.S., and he's taken all of the areas, the land that we are not, humans are not allowed to touch, because they're supposed to be left alone. And you look at the areas that we're allowed to live in, they're all concentrated in these little hubs.
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to say, because there are lands every day, especially here in Florida, that are being designated as protected areas.
Yes.
And that is what I mean. It's very limited on what is developable. Maybe the word we should be using is developable and accessible or permissible land to develop, because I will tell you that every year they buy lands, they turn them into protected areas, which I will tell you that I'm very much into protecting our wetlands and our areas in our Everglades here in Florida, because, as you know, that's our area where our potable water comes from. So there are some areas like that. But, yes, every year there are more and more lands being designated, and that will definitely cut down on the number of say developable lands that are available. But listen, the main thing is, at the end of the day, it's about money. If
yes.
a developer can squeeze in
yes.
50 properties where before he was only going to get 20, well, you do the math.
Yes.
Is he going to make more money? Absolutely. And that's the other thing. Now we have developers that come a dime a dozen in Florida.
Yeah.
They're all over the place, and it's a very lucrative business, seeing that local governments are also supporting these land use changes and, you know, and whether they're variances or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of things that lead to it. But again, the whole thing is that this is against the average John Doe, who all he wants to do is live in peace and not to be harassed by another form of government, which is these association board of directors.
If you fly across the country and you look down, the middle of the country is empty. There's nothing there. So why we're doing this is, I don't know why. I mean, again, this is just an artificial way of controlling people. And they'll say that, oh, we're running out of land and we're running out of resources. There was a study done recently that if you took every single man, woman, and child in the world, we would all comfortably fit in Texas. So we're not really running out of that much stuff. There's some people who decide they want to control things, and, you know, they come up with these stories and these, oh, we're running out of land, and, you know, people are having too many babies, and, you know, I don't know. Ultimately, I'm not going to be around, but ultimately, I wonder just how badly they're going to screw up the world.
Well, you have to also remember that you have people that are urban planners, and they hate the word called urban sprawl, which they don't. They'd rather concentrate in metropolitan areas, and they are trying to maximize the amount of properties. And that is ringing the ear of your local governments, because they are allowing more density in smaller areas, and it is happening everywhere. I mean, I recently was visiting California, went to, and they've been to places like old little towns right outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
areas along the actual lake, and you'd be surprised. The warehouse areas are now booming, and the infill is horrible. There's no place to park. The rates, the mortgages, and I'm sure the rents are out the window, but it's a developer's dream. It's making a lot of money, and guess what? A lot of those buildings that were old warehouses converted to living space
mm-hmm.
now have an association. So,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we can see the trend. But let me go back to my point. My point is, who's responsible, Shu, to make sure that the right thing is done? It's your elected body. At, normally, like here in Florida, it's at your state level, which is we're the ones that were responsible for the regulating and for anything that had to do with associations. And in some places, local governments, and that's going to allow me to jump right into an example of something that I just asked, was asked to get involved with, and I love it. We have in Miami-Dade County down here where I'm at, in our county we have over 30, I believe it's 32 or 33 cities within the county itself. And we have one city, and I want to use them as an example. It's the city of Doral. It's a community that is growing. It's mostly, it was mostly a commercial industrial area close to our airport, Miami International Airport. But it's been booming. A lot of foreign investors have been buying. And now we call it the community of homeowner associations. I'd say that 85% of the people in there live in more middle to upscale homeowner associations, gated communities with golf. This is the place where they play the Doral Eastern Open, a very big golf tournament that is seen every year, and just, you know, all the top-notch golfers come to. Big community growing, but growing is also the number of complaints and problems that they have because of all the homeowner associations, and technically 85% of the voters live in these homeowner associations. What did this local government, here's what I'm about to say, remember, in state of Florida, we do things when it has to do with associations. They're done through the state government. Where here's a mayor and commissioners, especially the mayor of the city of Doral, that decided to reach out to me and said, you're the lawmaker. I remember you when you were in Tallahassee. I want you to come and help us establish what we can at the local government level, almost create like a board. As you know, a lot of local governments have a lot of different boards, parks and recreation, historical planning, planning board, you name it. And for the first time, this local government wants to create a condo and HOA board. And they want to now create some safeguards through local government to be able to protect unit owners against unruly, you know, property managers, board members. And we are now in the process of trying to see how we work these issues out so we're not in conflict with state law. And they're coming up with a bunch of innovative ways to deal with this. They also, as a local government, and here in South Florida it's very common, most of the cities have their own cable access channel. So if you watch cable or satellite, you will probably see your community's meetings that are aired through your channels, through your cable or DirecTV or Dish or whatever it may be you have. You get to watch the meetings. They're dedicating certain slots of the day so that they can air programs just for those that live in the homeowner and condo associations. They're trying to work with the attorneys to see if they can draft local ordinances that maybe protect you a little bit more than what state law has. So there's additional protection for their residents in the community. So I really gave the mayor kudos, and we're working on that. That may be a model that smaller government, or meaning the local governments, which local governments are usually the government closest to the people. A state is a different level, and of course federal we won't even talk about. But these are the local governments that tend to be closest to the people in these communities. I hope they all take a look at what they're doing in the city of Doral, Florida, and maybe model some things like there to add some additional components of help for those who live in associations.
Let me put a bug in your ear about that, Julio. Fairfax County has something similar. Unfortunately, they've got the audacity of putting it in the Consumer Affairs Department in the county. And they also use the cable channels to host a show called Your Community, Your Call. The problem with that is that the only people who, quote unquote, are experts are members of the industry. CAI attorneys and managers are the ones who are there indoctrinating the public.
And those are the ones using the cable access channel?
Yes.
At
the cost of the taxpayers.
Yeah, and that is exactly the opposite of what this community is doing. You don't want to allow a special group like that, which you know has their own agendas, to come on to your tax-paid community access channel and use it for their benefit. This is actually quite the opposite. These are channels... The channel will be used to invite unit owners with complaints to have meetings, live meetings, and call-ins directly to the mayor and commissioners. But again, I will tell you that nobody that is going to any way, shape, or form or could benefit, you know, privately or personally from this are allowed. These channels come with very strict guidelines on who can and cannot use them and what it's for. It's basically these are educational channels, but you understand that people hide behind educational when they really have another intent. And again, I think that that's an idea that's really gone south if that's the way they're using it in that community, completely against what these cable access channels are supposed to be used for.
Well, there's the PEG, the public, which is what I'm on, the education, which is where the universities go, and the government. And that's what the government channel is. And it's Fairfax County, and it's supposedly helping their constituents. But what they're doing, in fact, is bringing on the industry members, the CAI attorneys, and the managers. And they sit there with these questions. I mean, it's so contrived and so smug. They used to have a call-in. I haven't watched it for a while, but they used to have a call-in section. So I used to call in and pin the attorneys down because they were lying through their teeth. And what was fun was they were on TV and I would watch them squirm. You know? But I don't think they have the call-ins anymore. I said, you know, why don't you explain that? And oh, it's in there. Well, no. Please tell us exactly where. And then they'd admit that it wasn't there. But it's just, Julio, it was just horrible. And
it's
still going on.
And unfortunately, that's what will happen when you have people that know how to manipulate the system. Well, luckily for the city of Doral, we have been working with them. We have actually advised them on what is the proper use of these cable access channels and to make this the local people's channel, not for any particular group with any special interests or anything of that nature. As a matter of fact, we recently used a channel because homeowner associations had a piece of legislation, like I said, that was moving this year, and it finally passed, and it's on the hands of the governor that would help kind of model what's in protective form for condos for HOAs. It was a big bill for Citizens for Cyber Justice and Mr. Bergman, and it was a victory for Floridians who live in a homeowner association. The channel was used by the mayor and commission to give the community the bill numbers and the information about what this bill did, and posted emails and phone numbers so that these communities can call the legislators to push the bill along and get it passed, and it did. And now to call the governor and make sure that the governor signs the legislation into law as soon as possible. That's about the highest level of any kind of lobbying that will be done on a channel like that, because it is legislation to help. The station will not be bringing in again, law firms with their own interpretations of things of what is right and what is wrong, because it's interesting. I get into debates all the time with attorneys that want to interpret laws the way they interpret it, and they never know who I am. So I'm just a panelist, and they're saying, well, this law was written to do this and this, and then I turn around and I say, well, he's absolutely wrong. And they ask me, well, how would you know? I says, because I wrote the law. And I think being the author of the law, it proves how bad you guys can take and twist these type of statutes. It's just really a sad situation. But going back to the point, now you see why this is an issue that's not going away, that we're going to have to continue to elect people that, while they're campaigning, that they give you the commitment that they're going to go to the position of lawmakers, and they are going to continue to work on this, because this is an ever-evolving world of associations. And every day I find out through a call that I get from somewhere in Florida about somebody's latest trick or latest technique or the way to shortchange the public, and it's horrible. And we should always be one step ahead of it in order to protect those who count on the elected body to protect them in these associations.
Fairfax Radio, I'm Shu Bartholomew. You're on the Commons, and with us on the Commons today, we have Julio Rabaina, also known as the Energizer Bunny, and as you can see, he hasn't slowed down a bit. Julio, how can we do this? The system, the scheme, the design is flawed for these HOAs. It's not working. There are more problems than there are benefits. The only benefits are to a handful of people who make a whole lot of money, and that includes local municipal government. How can we turn this around and make home sweet home again, where it's yours?
It's going to be the same thing I've been saying now for over 11, 12 years, and that is that people really have to get involved. They have to get totally disgusted with this and come forward. At the end of the day, the only group of people that can help you with this is the same group of people that you go out and pull the lever or punch the card or touch the screen and elect to certain positions. They're there for that reason. Unfortunately, as we said earlier in this show, is there's a lot of apathy. People don't trust anybody in government. People don't trust that anything is going to come out of the out of calling their representatives and their senators and so forth. And Shu, that is about the only way. And it starts locally. You got to come out to your local board meetings and be a check and balance and ask questions. And I think that anybody knows that if you go to a meeting and you ask a question, by the type of answer you get, you're going to know what type of people you're dealing with. If they're straight, honest folks, they're going to give you a straight, honest answer. If they're not, that raises a flag that you need to get more involved and do something at either trying to remove these individuals or taking an action or getting united, because you will lose your communities if you don't get involved. And that means the same with the laws that protect you, whether you live in a condo, an HOA, a timeshare, or a co-op in Florida. I had to have hearings all around the state of Florida to get people to come out, and luckily they came out by the hundreds when they found out that the state of Florida was coming into their county to talk about a forum. It wasn't us speaking to them, it was us listening to them and what their problems were and what changes we needed to do to protect them so that they could feel that they were back at peace in their homes. But it takes involvement. While the apathy is strong and few people come out and most people say, you know what, that's a mess, I'm not getting involved in it, that allows the smaller group that we talked about to continue to have the upper hand and to find and to be able to manipulate it for personal gain or for maybe some type of other interest. We've got to get involved. Human beings are going to have to do it. As much as they hate it, they're going to have to get involved. If they don't, you're going to lose the war and things won't change, and that little group will always benefit.
I think there needs to be a tremendous amount of education that goes on. There's so many lies that have been told about HOAs over the years that some people believe them. They'll tell you, yeah, I know we've got all these problems, but they protect my property values. They do not protect your property values.
Absolutely not. They don't protect them. You're absolutely right about that.
So if you're going to give up everything you have, your dignity, your sovereignty, your home, your peace of mind, your health, the whole lot, because you're going to protect property values, it's a lie. Think about it.
Well, I'm still hoping that sooner or later we try to reach out to our congressional members, that somewhere, even though most of this is decided at your state government levels, Congress will soon have to act on this, because you're talking about affecting millions and millions and millions of people's homes around the United States. And, you know, when it gets to that level and the local, meaning not local, but your state governments aren't handling it, Congress could supersede and override and try to get involved in dealing with these horrible situations that are going to continue to get worse and worse. But again, how does that happen? How do you even remotely get a chance?
You elect Julio Rabaina to Congress. That's how you get it done, Julio.
Well, the problem with that is Julio Rabaina would probably be the only one screaming in Congress at the time. And so you have to elect a lot of Julio Rabainas in your community even yourselves, if you're listening to this show and you ever thought about, I'm not getting involved in that mess, that's how Julio Urbina started. I got so upset that I ran for local government and state government and never liked politics. I can still tell you, I can't mention, I don't even know half the presidents in the United States, but I was a community activist that got elected because guess what? I was the same as everyone who voted for me. They knew that I had their issues at heart. So if you're listening to this and saying, well, or you continue to be apathetic, listen to this. Give it up. Get involved. Do something. Yeah, you'd be surprised. You may be the one that they're looking for in order to, as I used to tell people, you know, deliver these people from evil, because right now you may be in heaven, but my favorite saying was, you may be in heaven right now, but you're only one election away from hell.
That's
and you're
true.
In an association.
That's true. We've been saying that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
It's going to take one election to get you there. It's funny how people have got these blinders on through life. You know, people will come up to me and they'll go, Shu, you mean some associations. I go, no, I mean all associations. Well, in my association, what association do you live in? They tell me. I go, but it was in the news not too long ago. Yeah, I know. And I've heard from some of the people who live, well, I know my neighbors down the road have had some problems, but you don't understand, Shu. We don't have those problems.
But they, again, that's the one, Shu, where you have to remind them, as I say, that they're just one election from being in total hell. And it can happen. It really, really happens every year in Florida. They've had a great group. Guess what, folks? People get old. They don't want to do that anymore. They want to leave it alone. They want to just go out and enjoy their years, their senior years. They want to enjoy their families, and they don't want to do any more volunteer work, and they get off the boards. Now what happens to you? That is what people need to understand. It's you've got to be vigilant. You've got to be your checks and balance. The same way where the checks and balance for your local commissioners and mayor and your state reps and state house members and your congressmen and senators at the U.S. level and your president, you need to do the same. Especially, I would tell you, to me, I would probably be looking closer at my local association president and board members than at times I would, you know, at local, state, or county, or federal government, because these people are going to impact your livelihood, your pockets, your home, everything on a daily basis. And that's something that people need to understand.
Yeah, they've got direct access. They've got access to your home like nobody else has.
That is correct. And by the way, one thing about access, if you ever get board members, I always tell everybody this, that you approach and they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to give you a phone number. They don't want to be called. Remind them. Who twisted their arm to run for an elected, voluntary position? Nobody did. And if they got elected and that's the type of attitude, you know you got a problem right there. These people need to be removed. Again, I don't mean somebody who's going to harass them every day, but we got board members that seem to be the nicest, almost reminds me of politicians. They say the right things, they get elected, and you'll never get a response from them. Again, back as long as you're living in there, that is not the person you want representing you. Volunteer or not, they should not be representing you in an association.
Hey, Julio, have you ever run into people who call you up and you say, you know, ask your board member or get that from a board member, and they don't know who the board members are because they are not allowed to know who's representing them on the board?
Yeah. Well, if that ever happens, you definitely know you got a huge problem, because board members should let themselves be known just the same way they tried to let you know who they were if they were campaigning to get elected in the community. But if you have that type of environment, you know very well you got a huge problem. You got to remember, everything has to be out in the open, and being out in the open means there's transparency. When you don't know who these people are, that means it's not in the open and there is no transparency. And again, I'll give you a 50-50 chance if there's some shadiness or something that's going on there that's not right.
It blows my mind when people don't know who their board members are, because the board members are secret and the manager and the attorney representing the association will not let them know who's representing them, who's making the decisions. Everything's going through management.
And that's something that's a big problem. For instance, in some of the communities where we manage, you know, technically in Florida, by law, you only need to have one meeting a year. That's all, just to discuss the budget, approve the budget, and the elections. Now, what do? We have one almost every month. I know it's an overkill. Sometimes we do maybe once a quarter, but we don't let any long periods of time go without having board meetings. Sometimes the board says, Mr. Robina, why do you want us to have another board meeting? Why? Because the unit owners have a right to know. Whether they show up or not, that's a different story. You're hoping that they will show up. But you owe it to them to let us know everything that has been done, especially if you're an extremely busy association. In 1 month, a lot of things take place. If you're a smaller pace community, maybe once every 3 months, there will be things that need to be addressed and told to them. But more importantly, so that they can tell you what the problems are and what else needs to be addressed. What a concept, huh? Listening to the unit owners. It's just, it's something that it makes all the common sense in the world, but it just doesn't happen. Communication has to be, whether it's between an association or whether it's between a couple, if the communication is not there, problems are going to occur.
When I was on the board, we had two meetings a month.
That was actually very good. In my opinion, that is more than sufficient ways to get your information out. Now, does it take a strain on volunteers? Absolutely. But again, I go back to saying nobody twisted their arms to be volunteers.
Yes.
Remember, those volunteers also have a fiduciary responsibility to look out for that association. So, again, if you care about your community and you want to know what's being done with your money and your investment, you should get involved. You should either run for these offices or at least be present at these board meetings. It's to your benefit and no one else's.
Julio, we're out of time. I just want to make one very quick comment. You talked about urban planners before.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out that we owe HOAs to an urban planner.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
And Byron Hankey was the grandfather of HOAs, and he was an urban planner. He wanted to make things pretty. Mm. And so now you've got big problems.
Well, remember, and that group of people called urban planners, I don't know what they call them in other states, are going to be right in the middle of the future planning.
Yes.
Of where you're going to live, whether you like it or not. It's the wave. It's exactly what is going on in development right now in the entire United States. And they need to have checks and balances.
Julio, will you come back sometime soon?
Absolutely. And now that we're back in touch, would love to hear from you, and of course look forward to maybe doing a dual program with my good friend Jan Bergman, and like I said, a man that I respect and owe a lot to, and finally you for always being the voice there that always gave me an opportunity to speak a little bit about what we were doing in Florida.
Well, keep doing it, and I'm waiting for you to run for Congress. I will be there. I'll be one of your staffers, Julio.
I appreciate that. Like I said, in life, I've learned to say never, but right now we got a lot of work in Florida and a lot of people that I help every day in the private sector. So I appreciate your comments there, Sue. Really do.
Thank you so much.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.